This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, to complete the point that I was making yesterday with respect to the importance of treating knowledge as knowledge, understanding the importance of knowledge. Think about this. If you find a jewel, if you find a shiny rock, it might be the Kohinoor. It won't be the actual Kohinoor because it is sitting in the crown of the King of England, but it could be a very, very valuable diamond or emerald. But what do you need to do to find out? You need to go to a jeweler. You need to go to somebody who understands jewelry, understands jewels, understands gemstones. And they will then be able to put a price on it and say, this is what this thing is worth. Without going to that jeweler, even though you possess the thing itself, it's in your pocket, it's of no use to you. You don't know its value, and so you can't do anything with it. And the same thing applies to knowledge. Think about these three words which I introduced to you yesterday. Information, which is a bunch of data. Each one in itself might be useful, but we don't know that. That information, when it is put together, organized in a particular context, becomes what we call knowledge. And this knowledge is what gets recorded and put into books. But even that is not enough, because that knowledge then must go through a third process. And that process is where that knowledge is practiced, digested, understood from an experiential perspective, and then that learning is conceptualized and expressed in a teachable form, conceptualized and organized in a teachable form. That whole process is what results in what we call wisdom. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Tell them, inform them of the wahi that you have received, inform them of the revelation, and after you inform them, then purify them, get them ready to receive it, and then teach it to them, put that revelation in the context of what life is, and then share with them your understanding of that revelation, which is hikmah. And that is why nobody can claim to understand the Quran without the agency of the Rasul alayhi salam. Without the agency of the Rasul, without the help of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the interim between the message and the recipient of the message will not make any sense. My brothers and sisters, it was this understanding of the importance of the teacher that led Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, to when he met and when he was in the khidmat and he was in the company of his Sheikh Shams Tabriz Rahmatullah Ali, he said about that encounter, he said, Ik lehza ba sohbate awliya behtarast sad sal ta'at beriya. He said, a second, a lehza, a lamha, in the company of a person who understands and knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the awliya of Allah. Insha'Allah, he says that a second in that, meaning not just sitting there, meaning and learning from them. He says 1 second of learning from them is better than 100 years of sincere ibadah. Now this does not mean we are discounting sincere ibadah, we are just saying that worshipping, alhamdulillah, it is good, and worshipping is essential, worshipping will give us Jannah, inshallah. But to really come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need the wisdom of the Rasul alayhi salam. This is what led somebody like Jalaluddin Rumi, who was at the peak of his profession. He was a professor, he is a person who had written many books and so on. That knowledge and that thirst took him to somebody who had wisdom. This is what, and I mentioned to you yesterday the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. Now Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Khidr. Even though Musa alayhi salam was the Rasul, Khidr was a Nabi, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Khidr because he has to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize the importance and the rank of a teacher. It's not the, when the teacher is a teacher, it doesn't matter what other status he has or doesn't have. The status of the teacher supersedes everything else. And there are many such instances of great scholars going to others to learn. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah he also used to do this. He used to go to other scholars at that time, and he would sit with them and he would learn from them. Hatim al-Asam learned from Shaqiq al-Barqi rahmatullah alayh, and so on and so forth. Now, the point I'm making here is that it's very important for us today, because we live in a world, and especially in this country, the United States, we live in a country where arrogance is the name of the game. Arrogance is the name of the game. People feel that they need nothing from anybody. That is the most dumb, the most stupid thing that you can ever imagine. If you feel that you are self-sufficient, then it means you are so ignorant that you don't even know what you need. So please, let us get out of this self-deception, which is from shaitan, and understand that we need to learn. There's this famous story of this professor who went to a sheikh to learn, and he asked him, he said, please make me your disciple, your student. The sheikh took him to, there was a well in this courtyard, he took him to the well, he took a jar, empty jar with him, and he started filling this jar. He was drawing water out of the well and pouring it into the jar. And the jar filled up and he kept pouring water, and the jar overflowed and he kept pouring water and it overflowed some more. And this professor couldn't take it anymore. He said, Subhanallah, he said, this thing cannot hold anything more. It's filled. And the sheikh said, that's your situation. He said, you have come to me with yourself filled with all that you know, and you want to come and sit here and ask me things when you are then comparing it with whatever is in your head, and you are not sitting here to learn, you're sitting here to judge me. So empty yourself before you come. Now this does not mean that we have to discount ourselves and say I am worth nothing. No, it is to put it in perspective and say what I have is knowledge, what I do not have is wisdom, and what I need is wisdom. And wisdom does not come from books. That is why Dr. Yaqub, mashallah, may Allah bless him, made this beautiful statement. He said, we meaning Muslim scholars, he said, we write books to be taught. We do not write books to be read. Yeah, that's a beautiful statement. Because the Quran al-Kareem, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned yesterday, sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Quran. And he did not send the Quran to be read, he sent the Quran to be taught. He sent the Quran for us to learn it, not just read it. And this is our problem, among many other problems, that we just read it. Now, brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to have this humility and this humbleness to go to the teacher in a state of need. Understand and accept that it is my need to learn. It's not the teacher's need to teach. The teacher has many students. The teacher doesn't have to teach you. The teacher can teach anybody. It's my need to learn. That's why Musa alayhi salam was sent to Khidr alayhi salam, and he had to walk, and he didn't walk for a couple of days before he got to him. It is the need of the learner, and the learner must go there as a need. He must go there as a patient goes to a doctor. It is my pain. I must get out of this pain. I want relief from this pain. I need the medicine. The doctor does not need to give the medicine. I need the medicine. And without the medicine, I will die. The doctor will not die. Right? It is my need. It is this sense of being, in need of this, of saying that I'm muhtaj. I am the one who is destitute, and I need this thing. We must go to the teachers with that. And it begins, therefore, with the adab of learning. Please understand this. Today, in this, we live in a world where, especially in this country, I mean, I'm not, sort of bashing this country with this, the amount of lack of adab, the amount of absolute, it is disgusting. It's so bad. I mean, I think to myself, what happens to people? I mean, they come from countries which are known for their adab, and they raise children here who are like animals, right? It's very shameful. They don't even have the courtesy of how to give salam, how to make salam, how to sit in a halaqa, how to sit in a dars of the Quran. They will sit there and their legs are extended, feet pointed to the qibla, feet pointed at the face of the teacher. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. And they don't see anything wrong with that, right? And if somebody objects, we say no, you should be gentle with the kids. I mean, la hawla quwwata illa billah. Seriously. Get real people. I mean, if you want the find me one situation now the billah of where any sahabi sat the way your kids and the way you sit in a halaqa, find me one instance where a sahabi sat like that before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huh? Why do we have the seerah? We have the seerah to learn from it, to practice that in our lives, not just to tell stories. The sahaba used to sit like this, they used to do like this, and then what do? We do the opposite of that. It begins with adab. Be adab, be nasib. Ba adab, ba nasib. The one who has adab has the future. The one who doesn't have adab has no future. Very, very important. Begins with the adab of learning. Sit there, the way you sit, the way you look at the teacher with complete concentration, not chatting with your friend there, not playing with your phone. I mean, it is, I tell you, subhanAllah, may Allah may have mercy on me. I mean, really, if we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to enable us to learn this beautiful deen that He sent us, sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. My brothers and sisters, very important for us. Let us understand this. The importance of teachers, the importance of elders. SubhanAllah, we have elders in our own families. We have our parents, we have our grandparents. Do you take time? Do you sit with them? Do you listen to them? Do you understand them? It is very important for us to be connected to our history. Because we came from somewhere, right? Today we are here because of somebody else. We are standing on other people's shoulders. Who are those people? What did they face? We have a situation today where parents talk to children, children say, that was that country. How does it apply to me? It's not a question of that country or this country. It's a question of what is the lesson you are taking away from here. If your parents talk to you about the kind of deprivation, the kind of lack of resources they lived with, the lesson you take away from is that resources do not define success. Success is defined by what you do with those resources. But no, you're too dumb to understand that, right? I'm saying this because I'm so bugged with this, because these are the kind of answers that people give me. May Allah have mercy on me. Please, let us get our act together. Let's stop behaving like this and learn and stop, don't lose out on the assets that Allah has given you. And the biggest of those assets are the people in your lives. People in your lives, and from those people are the elders. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.